I want us to just continue this morning on where I left off last week when I spoke about thanksgiving in light of God's self-sufficiency. I think it's so important for us to also see that side of God, to understand His heart and His motivation in His giving. And it's amazing when we understand that God needs nothing. God doesn't need anything, and yet He gives us everything. And last week we shared in Psalm 50 in Israel's heart in their giving. And they're giving as if God needed something. And that they were kind of responding to God's need in their sacrifice and in their giving. And God, how God corrected them and says, but listen, yeah, I own everything. I owe everything is mine. There's nothing that you can give to me that I need. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need anything that I have. I cannot add anything to God. I don't give Him anything that He lacks. He doesn't need me. And there's nothing that I can give Him that can fill a need, because He doesn't have any needs. He's self-sufficient. As a matter of fact, everything that I have received from Him. And it is with that attitude of knowing that I am the receiver and He is the giver that I give out of thanksgiving. Not out of meeting a need, but really out of thanksgiving. So God owes me nothing. God is the giver and I am the receiver. And in that light, when we give to Him, it's an attitude of thanksgiving. So our response is thanksgiving. He doesn't need our service. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our sacrifice. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our gifts. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a world. God doesn't need the world. God didn't create the world because He had a need. And if God is absolutely self-sufficient and He created without a need, then we should ask ourselves, why did God create? I mean, if God didn't need anything, because there's a mindset, an underlying mindset that God actually needs from us, that we need to give to meet a need in Him. But God didn't need the world. He was absolutely, and He is absolutely self-sufficient within Himself. So why does He care? If God doesn't need anything, I think it's so important for us to ask ourselves, why does He care about us? Why does He care about me? If He doesn't need anything, why does He care about you? If you have nothing that you can give God that He needs, why does He care about you? Why does He care about me? This ought to loom great in our thinking. And why does God care? I mean, we care for nature because we love it. We love spending time in it. We care for many things because we love things. I want to declare to you, God cares because He loves you. God cares about you because He loves you. There's nothing you can give Him that He needs, but He loves you. That's why He cares. So why are we here? Why have we been created? Well, the answer to the reason for our existence, and I want you to think about this, the reason for our existence is because God loves us. That's why you exist. You exist not because God needs anything. You exist because God loves you. That's why you're still here today. Because God loves you. John 3:16-17 summarizes it beautifully. God didn't create the world because He needed the world. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's motivation for our very existence is love. The answer to the question, why are we here, is seen in God's love for us. God loves us. But the love of God is so powerful in relation to His self-sufficiency. I mean, we all know that God loves us, but do you understand that God loves us from a place of needing nothing? God loves you from a place of needing nothing. I want you to stop for a moment and just close your eyes. Just close your eyes and just think about this. You are not here because God needs anything. You are here because God loves you. The reason you exist is because God loves you. You know, the Old Testament speaks of the love of God, and the word in the Old Testament for love is chesed, which is a beautiful term in Hebrew that communicates two notions that's coming together, two things, two concepts coming together. The word chesed in Hebrew, which is a beautiful word. That one notion is God's covenant commitment. The word denotes a covenant commitment, a loyalty or a faithfulness to something or someone. God has committed Himself to us. He has tied Himself to us. And that is so powerful. But that's only half the meaning. God says, I am committed to you. But committed to do what? I mean, you can be committed to your enemies. But the word chesed not just denotes a covenant commitment to someone. It also, the other half, is what He pledges Himself to that other person. And that's so powerful because the other half of this word is not just a commitment to someone, but it's actually to bring about blessing and fulfillment and well-being. And that's what God denotes in the Old Testament, that I'm committed to you to bring well-being and blessing upon you. That's God's heart in the Old Testament that we see through this powerful word. It says, listen, I'm committed to you to bring about blessing and well-being upon you. I myself have committed to you. This is a love that is a loyal commitment to bring about blessing, favor, kindness, and well-being to others. I mean, this chesed is the only reason why God loves Israel. And why God continued to love Israel. If you think about the history of Israel that is so clearly captured for us within the Old Testament, this relationship towards Israel, nothing else can explain why. Nothing about Israel merited God's ongoing favor. If you think about it, this hard-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious, idolatrous nation Israel, that every time that God poured His love out towards them, they kind of received it and then said, thank you God, but I'm going to follow another God. And time after time, God showers His love upon Israel and they turn around and they follow another God. A rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted nation. And yet, to this very day, God has not forsaken Israel. To this very day, the only reason God continues to love Israel is because of this chesed love. This, I have committed myself to you to bring about blessing, even in their sin, in their rebellion, in their exodus, in their exile, because of their rebelliousness. When they have been punished because of the rebellion, God speaks life over them and says, I will bring about all the blessings that I have promised you. and I will pour my spirit out upon you. There's absolutely no merit for Israel receiving the love and the commitment that God has. That's why Israel today is still different to all the other nations. It's different to America, different to Brazil, different to Germany. It's different to South Africa. Because God has made a commitment of love toward the nation. That's why Israel will not be destroyed. No matter what their rebellion is and their sin is, God has committed Himself. And He has made these awesome promises towards them. Every time He shows them kindness, they, what do they do with it? They turn around with it. And yet, God says, I will bring you back to the land. I will grant you all the blessings that I've promised you. I will pour my spirit upon you. Why? Well, the answer is this chesed love, this covenant, faithful, loyal love that God has pledged to His people. That's the first concept of love that we see in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, we see this other concept of love, which we name churches after, which is called agape in Greek. This agape love, which is an unconditional, self-sacrificial love towards us. Which is another amazing concept of God's love towards us. This agape love refers to an in spite of love, not a because of love. God says, I love you in spite of, not because of. And that's another concept of God's love. Another reason why you and I exist, why God cares. Not because He needs anything, but because He agapes. He loves in spite of, not because of. I love you in spite of your unworthiness, your rebellion, your sinfulness, and you deserving the wrath and the condemnation that is upon you. Despite of that, I love you. Not because of it, but despite of it. That's agape love. I mean, in Romans 5:8, we read this powerful thing that God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners. You see that? Christ died for us. I mean, this is God. Not because of our good deeds, we deserve His love. No, in spite of our sinfulness, God gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever believes. I mean, that's how God demonstrated His love towards us. God's love is in spite of, it is undeserved, it is unconditional. You heard that term before? God's unconditional love. The fact that we receive it not because we deserve it. So how does God's self-sufficiency and His love go hand in hand together? How does these two, the love of God and His self-sufficiency, work together? Why is that so awesome? Well, let me tell you this. For God to love unconditionally, it requires that He needs to be absolutely self-sufficient. For God to love unconditionally means that God needs not to need anything. Because if God loves because He needs something from us, then it's no longer unconditional, is it? I mean, if God had needs that in some way we could meet, and He loves us because He has this need of being loved, or He has this need to receive something from us, or He has this need, then is that love still unconditional? Then it's no longer unconditional. So for God to love unconditionally, He needs to be absolutely self-sufficient. He absolutely has to need nothing. And out of that place of absolute fulfillment, of absolute fullness, of absolute having everything that He needs and requires, He loves us unconditionally. And as He loves us without expecting some need within Himself to be met, because He loves us. Suppose God were not self-sufficient, then if He really had needs, then these love would not be unconditional. It would be conditional upon how I get what I need out of this. So God, for Him to love us absolutely, unconditionally, He must be self-sufficient. And I'm not saying God is self-sufficient and therefore He is unconditionally loving. You must understand the difference. I'm not saying God loves unconditionally because He is self-sufficient. No, I'm saying because He's self-sufficient, He chooses to love us unconditionally. You see the difference? I mean, that ought to, just by that very sense, ought to marvel in our minds and our hearts that this is God that needs nothing. He needs nothing. And yet He chooses to love you and I while we were still sinners. As a matter of fact, He gave His Son for us so that we may have life. Not because He needs anything, but simply because He loves us. God loves you, not because He needs anything. So why are we here? Why did God make the world? Well, I can tell you one thing. It's not because He was needy or He was lonely or He wanted fellowship. Or He would not have... He had this need, He had this pain, He had this emptiness within Himself that He needed to be filled. And therefore He created humanity so that He could meet this need. That's not why we are here. Though He is self-sufficient and though He needs nothing, though He is infinitely rich within Himself, He needs absolutely nothing. He created us so that He can love us. You know, that's the one thing about love. Love is something that wants to express itself to something else. That's what love is. Love is expressing and filling the other with your fullness. I mean, God in His fullness, He wanted, He chose to share His fullness. God's heart with you and me is to love us. That's it. God wants to love you. He wants to share His fullness, His joy, His riches in abundance of peace and eternal life. He wants to share it with you, not because He needs anything, but simply because He loves you. So God wants to give you the fullness of who He is. That's why you exist. I want to declare to you, the reason you exist is so that God can love you. The reason that you were created is so that God can love you. I mean, you can wake up like that tomorrow morning. Think about that. You exist so that God can love you. There are some people, and I believe some of us are even here today, that struggle with this. You feel you are not worthy to be loved. And you know what? Partly you're right. We are sinners. We are undeserved of His love. But you know what? That doesn't change God's love towards you. The reason you exist is so that God can love you. God's purpose for us is not to get from us what He needs, but rather to shower upon us what we need. God knows that we need His love. We need His provision. We need His protection. We need His fullness. We need His peace. We need His joy. We are needy. I want you to think about that tomorrow morning when you wake up. The reason I exist is because God loves me. He wants to fill me
with all of himself. I want you to stop for a moment and just close your eyes. You are not here because God needs anything. You are here because God loves you. That's why you exist as a child of His. As a child of His, you are here because He wants to fill you as a father. As a father, He wants to pour Himself in your life. That is the God that we serve. But you know what? He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. God wants to love you. He wants to fill you with the fullness of who He is. But there is a purpose in this love, in us, in receiving it, is to reflect it, to reproduce it. God wants to pour Himself into you and me so that we can reflect it, so that we can reproduce it. It's not a condition, it's a desire of love. God loves us because that's who He is. But that love has a purpose. That love is not a selfish thing. Just like He is driven by love that is focused on the other, where He wants to fill the other with more of Himself, with the fullness and the bounty that is within Him, that love that is received is meant to be reflected. It's meant to reproduce that which we receive. So when God loves us, that love in us, as we are being filled with Him, like a word that's been shared, that it must overflow from us. So how do we love? You know, 1 John 4 verse 19 says it so powerfully. We love because He first loved us. So as we are filled with Him, we have the capacity to also reproduce that what we have received. We love as we are loved by Him and receive from Him all that He has to fill us up with. Isn't that what 1 John says? I mean, we had a powerful testimony here. I love 1 John 4 verse 7 to 12. I've preached many sermons on it. But in my Bible, there's two headings. The first heading in this portion of Scripture, you know, sometimes they put headings in your Bibles. You know, that's not the Word of God. That's just the guy that translated it, the theologians coming together, summarizing the little passage. And the first summary, these are the two headings within this portion of Scripture that I'm about to read. The first is, knowing God through love. What a powerful statement. Knowing God through love. And then the other one is seeing God through love. The one heading is knowing God through love, and the other one is seeing God through love. And let us just read this together. It says, beloved, let us love one another. For what is the reason? For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Do you see that? What a powerful statement. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you see that? God didn't need us. God loved us. And then it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. You see, it's a reflection. It is a reproducing. It is, I receive the fullness of God, and therefore I love in the same measure. And then he goes on in verse 12. He says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us. Do you see that? And His love has been perfected in us. And I know I've preached on it before, but I can't read the scripture without saying this because this is so awesome to me. It says something so powerful because there are people who want to see God. They want to know if God exists. And God says clearly, no one has ever seen God. But if you love one another the way I love you, I abide in you. In other words, people will come to see God, but through the love we reflect, they will see God in the love that we reflect. Because God is love. Isn't that a powerful statement of eternity and also of the privilege we have not just to receive the love of God, but to actually give the love of God. Because God is saying that as you receive my love and you love in the same way, there I am. And that is how people will see me. And he says, by this, my love has been perfected. The NIV says completed. I mean, God says, my demonstration of this love is my son on the cross. That is the demonstration of my love. And that love is completed. It is perfected when you are able to love in the same way. I always thought that the love of God is complete. It is perfected in me when I embrace the sacrifice. I mean, when I give my life, when I respond to this love, when I respond to this love and I accept the sacrifice that was made for me, I always thought it is in that moment that God's love, the purpose for demonstrating His love, is complete in me. But here God goes on and He says, now actually, it is completed, it is perfected when I'm able to love in the same way. Because then people will see me. God loves you. He has a desire to fill you. Last, we spoke of the cycle of thanksgiving, that as we receive from God, we give back to God out of thanksgiving. And as we give to others, others glorify God. Here he says the same thing, that as you receive my love and you love in the same way, others will see and glorify me because of that what you have received. And that what you are willing to share, to reflect, to reproduce, brings glory to me. Do you see the cycle again of thanksgiving and love? As we receive, we give, we reflect. I receive love from God, and therefore, I can love you. And you know, in the natural, I must admit, to love some of you is very difficult. But you know what changes me? Sometimes, you know, you can imagine. I'm just a man. So sometimes, you know, the things that people come up with, hallelujah. The things that they do, the things that they say, the things that they think, you just think, you know, Lord, I can spend my time with better people than this. And then at that moment, I'm reminded of how much God loves me, and I must think about me. He must think, yeah. You know, the things you come up with, the things that you think and the things that you do, really I can spend my time better. And then all of a sudden I'm reminded of how much God loves you. Not just how much He loves me. I'm reminded of how much He loves me, but then I'm reminded of how much He loves you. And then all of a sudden I'm filled with the love of God. And I love spending time listening to all your issues, your things that you do, things that you think. Because I am loved. I am accepted. Because I also have issues and shortcomings, and God loves me in spite of that. And because I embrace God and I open myself to receive from God, I'm filled with love, and therefore I can love you. No matter what your issues and your stuff. And it's not human love. It's not human. It's not me. It's God in me. It's God in me. Because I am forgiven. I can forgive others. Because God forgives me of my sin and my offense towards Him. Because I have received forgiveness, because I'm filled with forgiveness, it gives me the capacity to forgive those who sin against me. Do you see how we receive from the fullness of God that enables us to give from the fullness of God? Because it's like if you are healed from cancer, I guarantee you, you will have the boldness to pray for cancer. Because you have been healed emotionally, because God has bounded up your broken heart in your desperate moments of crying out in loneliness, and God was there. You know what? You have compassion for those who are going through the same things. And you have the capacity to encourage them, and to love them. You see, that is the God that we serve. He wants to give into our emptiness. He wants to fill us in our brokenness so that we too can be full and give of that what we have received. And as we do so, God is glorified all the way. Not that He needs glory, but He is worthy of receiving glory. That's the cycle of love. But why, if He needs nothing, does He demand so much from us? Have you ever thought about that? It's not that God is saying, listen, I love you, you can go on with your sinful life. It's not that God is saying to Israel, listen, I love you, but it's fine if you keep on worshipping idols. Just don't worry about it. Why, if God needs nothing, does He demand us to follow Him? I mean, if He doesn't need us, do you hear where I'm coming from? I mean, if God loves us because He loves us, why does He demand from us so much? Why does He demand from us not to follow after the world, not to worship other idols, not to pursue wealth and trust in riches? Why not have more than one partner? Why not sleep around? Why not continue to lie? Why not continue to steal? Why does God... And it comes naturally to us, doesn't it? I mean, we want to do certain stuff. Why does God tell us not to do certain stuff, even though we want to do it, even though it looks so nice, and sometimes it is? Why would God say we shouldn't do that if He doesn't need anything? I mean, Mark 8, verse 34, Jesus says, and He called His people to Himself, the people to Himself and His disciples also, and He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I mean, why such high demands on us if He needs nothing? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Do you see the high demand that God places upon us? This is not just, I love you. You can do whatever you want. This is quite high demands that God places on us. And we can spend a long time about that. But though He doesn't need anything, and He doesn't need us or anything we have to offer God, He loves us, and He knows that we will only experience the fullness of His love if we follow Him. God doesn't need anything from us. There's nothing we can give God. God wants to bless us with everything that He is, with His fullness and His bounty. But He knows we will only be able to receive the fullness if we are following Him. Because He knows if we follow the world, we will not receive the fullness and the bounty that He has to offer. But we will reap what the world reaps, which is destruction. So the reason God puts demands on us is because He knows if we follow Him, we will receive the fullness. It's where you position yourself. God wants to bless you with everything. It's like a man that's in love with a woman and has a beautiful bouquet of flowers and chocolates and a favorite chocolate. He's worked it out. He's researched it. He had it specially handmade at the chocolate factory in the right combination because she loves vanilla and rosebuds, whatever. You know, so he had custom-made vanilla rosebud chocolate made. And he bought her favorite flowers. And then he goes to her home, only to find she's not there. Has that happened to you before? You have everything planned out, you ring the bell, and then you want to surprise her, and then she's not there. Well, God is like that. He knows that He has everything to give us, but we need to be in the right place to receive it. Says, don't put your faith and your trust in this world, in riches and stuff, because it will not produce what I have for you. So follow me. And as you follow me, I can give you everything that you need. I can give you the fullness of who I am. He knows that only in Him is the fullness of life. It's like good parents telling their children not to go to the nightclub. It's not because I want to restrict my children, but I know going there alone is dangerous. There's lots of elements there. So no, my daughter of 16-year-old, I don't want you to go to the nightclub on Friday evening. I'd rather like you to go to youth. Is it because I want to keep from you fun? No. It's because I know where you're going to find life. So when God speaks to us, it's from the heart of a lover. Those divine demands are a voice of a lover speaking to us. Say, come to me. I want to bless you. I want to fill you, so come to me. That's why God is beckoning us. No, God is demanding from us. Because He loves us, He is demanding from us to follow Him. He says, come to me. I want to bless you. Come to me. That's God. That's God. Follow me, my path. And in my path, you will find life. You don't find it by clinging to your things. You don't find it there. You don't find it in the world. As a matter of fact, you lose your life there. But if you lose your life for my sake, to follow me, your mother, your brother, your sister is not priority in your life, but I am. Jesus puts high demands on us, doesn't he? He says, there you will find life. It's in me. It's not in your houses. It's not in your land. It's not in your money. It's not in objects. It's in me that you find life. So follow me. It is not in unforgiveness that you find life. So therefore, forgive as I forgive you. Because God knows in unforgiveness we will reap bitterness and decay. So God demands of us to forgive in the same way that we have been forgiven. Isn't that the Lord's Prayer? Where He ends off and He says, and He speaks about unforgiveness. He says, isn't it? I have forgiven you, so therefore you must forgive. It's not found in envy. It's not found in lying. It's not finding life in being the most, seeking your advantage at the cost of others. It's not found in that. That's why God says, stop lying. Be humble. Follow me. Be the least. Because in being the least, you will find me. That's God. That's why. It's found in me. Follow me. Follow me as a shepherd, David. The Lord is my shepherd. That's why I shall not want. Because He leads me. That's why God calls us. If you follow me, then you will find life. You will find joy. Those divine demands chart our path to find life in fullness. That's why God asks us, demands of us. Because he wants to bless us. He can provide for you everything that you long for. So that having received from him the fullness of who he is, that you can actually share that also with others. You know, that's the amazing thing. God does not just want us to share in the joy of receiving his fullness, but also in the joy of sharing that fullness with others. It is called Christian service, isn't it? Where we not just experience the joy of receiving, but we experience the joy of sharing. And that's part of God's heart. He wants us to not just experience his fullness, but he wants us to experience the fullness of sharing the fullness. Because there is a joy that comes in giving. There's a joy that comes in sharing out of the abundance that we have of him. And that's why God calls us to serve one another and love one another and give and share. Matthew 5, verse 14, somebody spoke about the light. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they put a light of a lamp, or lit the light of a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you see the cycle? God says, I want to bless you with my fullness so that you can share the fullness. So that you can receive not just the joy of receiving, but the joy of giving. And in this whole process of receiving and giving, you know what? God is glorified. That is the cycle of love. And God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. So the reason you exist is so that God can love you. He wants to fill you with the fullness. Therefore, he calls you and me to follow him so that we may have the fullness, so that we can in turn share that fullness with those around us. And that cycle brings glory to God for eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us your Son. God, you've given us everything. God, you have given us Jesus Christ so that we may have life. And that we may have life to the full, life that overflows. God, we want to thank you for saving us, not because we were handsome or smart or had anything to offer you. You send your Son because you loved us, God. And I just want to declare this morning as we are in an attitude of prayer before God in thanksgiving for his awesome love towards us. I want to declare to you that God loves you, not because of what you have done or have not done, but God loves you in spite of it. God loves you. You exist because God loves you. And I know this is a word for somebody, and I don't know who you are, but and maybe there are more than one person, but God is saying to you today that I love you. I love you. The reason you exist is so that I can love you. You just need to turn to me and receive it. You need to turn to me. If you're struggling to find acceptance, if you're struggling to accept this statement, if you're struggling to, to connect with God because you feel you are not worthy. I really believe God is speaking to you and He wants to pour more of His love into your heart. If that is you today, I just want you to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. But I struggle to receive from You. Thank You for those hands. You can drop them again. God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to receive. Just between you and God, is there anybody else? Maybe you are here today and you know that God loves you, but you are struggling to follow Him. You struggle to let go of certain things. Even though you know God loves you, you are struggling to let go because you are not sure, or seems too nice, or whatever the reason is, but you know who you are. You know that God loves you, but you are struggling to follow Him. There are things that holds you back. If that is you, I really want you just to respond to God. Say, God, I want to follow You, God, with all my heart. I'm struggling, Father. I'm struggling. If that is you, just respond to God by raising your hand. Just respond. Say, God, here I am. Thank You for those hands. Maybe you are here and you're not sure. You're not sure about your salvation. You know what? God's love is unconditional. But salvation is not unconditional. God's love towards the world is unconditional. God sent His Son for the entire world. But His love is conditional. His love is conditional to a sacrifice that was made 2,000 years ago. His love is conditional on that price that was paid. And his salvation is conditional. Not His love, His salvation is conditional on those who believe in that sacrifice. Those who believe in that love. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God, but is the one that paid the price so that whoever believes shall not perish. Whoever receives. And so God's love is unconditional. It is extended towards everybody. God has a desire to fill each and every man and woman and child with the fullness and the knowledge of who He is. That is God's desire. That is His love towards every man. But His salvation is conditional to those who actually turn to God and receive that love. Open their hearts and say, God, I acknowledge You. God, I want You. I want to thank You for this love. God, I want You to come and fill me. God, I want to position myself to receive. It is conditional on being born again. And that's simply through faith in the promise and the love that God has given. And then to follow Him. If you are here today and you're not sure whether you have the salvation, I want to give you an opportunity to be sure today. Because it's a simple step of faith. And for some of you, it's a simple step of turning back to Him. To follow Him. So if that is you this morning and you are not sure, but you want to be sure, I want you just to respond to God by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, Father. I want to be sure. I want to receive. I want to turn back. I want the fullness. I want the fullness. If that is you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning by just raising your hand. Say, Father, here I am. I'm that prodigal. I'm the lost one. I want to receive more of You. If that is you, I just want you to respond to that.